Hello,
Underpants.
everyone. And welcome to Patrice's Underpants Show. We're so happy that everyone is here with us today. And you know what? We're just going to jump right in. Can't wait to see everyone's underpants. Chuck, show us yours first, please.
No, thank you. I
All
don't think that's a
right.
good idea. I'm not sure your camera is color calibrated properly for what I'm wearing. So I'll leave that to the imagination.
All right. Well, I am looking forward to the photos later. Everyone, that's onlyfans.com/chucksunderpants.
Yes. Yeah. And instead of you paying me, I'll be paying you to look at the pictures.
Man, I love capitalism. Anyhow, well, thanks for joining us on This Week in Underpants, and now we'll just slide right into the Mac Show. And I am Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, or at least I was all the way up until today. And it wouldn't surprise me if partway through today's show, Men in Black show up, and I just mysteriously disappear, and I am ghosted. Yeah. Anyhow, it is awesome to get to be here with all of you today. This is what makes it worth getting up and getting out of bed on Friday mornings. So I'm happy to be here with all of you and with Chuck's underpants. Speaking of, how are you, Chuck?
I was great right after the show started, and then it just went right off the rails.
Well,
No,
you're welcome.
I'm doing good, Jeff. I'm doing good. Good to be with everybody here this morning.
It's awesome that we are all here.
Or afternoon, I'm sorry. Depending on where you are and when you're listening to this, it could be just about any time of day.
That's true. Yep. Ben, you were looking very sharp today, as usual. How are you?
I am great, Jeff. And if anybody wants to see my underpants, it's going to be $39.99 per month.
Hold on. Let me break out the credit card.
That's cheap, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that's a deal right there. People, if you're not paying to see Ben's underpants, what is wrong with you? Yeah, I'm just sitting here visualizing it right now.
Oh, God, no.
You're not going to believe where he put the Cubs logo.
Oh my God.
Right here.
Yeah.
Yes.
The
Yes.
machine learning works, right?
That's right. Yeah. Ben's dangling Cubs logo. Yeah. Hey, Patrice, how are you?
A
Yep.
little bit loopy. I don't even know how to answer that question. Yeah, it's been a rough week, I would say. Yeah, I'm back at home finally, dealing with all the fallout. Had to, traveling to Germany. One thing, German train system. People say, "Oh, yeah, it's perfect and always on time." Nope. Anybody in Germany will tell you, nope. Yeah, I had to travel a day early because there was a strike actually happening on Monday, and everything was canceled, which meant then on Sunday when I was traveling, there was like a whole mess because all the trains were full and I barely made it to like the hotel. Yeah, and then work and so on. Oh, it was fun. It was a fun week, but also a rough week. I had two people quit, but not because of us, like they just because end of the month they handed in their resignations to different people and to different teams. That's never good, even though I totally understand why they did it. Had nothing to do with us really. It's just, yeah, moving on.
Yep, that's a thing.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing, and I mean I'm quite happy for them because they're growing. But
Okay,
yeah.
then great. Yep.
Yeah, awesome for them, bad for me. So I had to deal with that. And yeah, and then Thursday happened. And yeah, I wanted to get to the airport, and all the trains were canceled because of some issue, something happening on the tracks. made it to the airport, and there was a massive lines there. I was like, yay, I only have, what it was, an hour until my flight is. I somehow managed to get to the gate in time, and then they told me, oh, by the way, we're an hour late. And oh. I ran to the gate. I was like, I didn't know. I was like, I was thinking, oh, I'll be late. They might.
An hour late. What is this, BTN?
Yeah, I mean, we ended up leaving, I think, like 2 hours and 30 later than planned. So that was great. Like I was back at home like way past midnight.
Wow.
And then I had to be up and working at 8 a.m. the next morning because I had a full day for today planned as well. So great. That was my week, by the way. But it was, I mean, the weather is April weather already. So there's that.
Wow.
Like three seasons in a day, not a problem.
Probably well, that's definitely more. Me. Today it's going to be 71 and have thunderstorms. Wow. Then tonight is going to be fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then tomorrow morning it's going to snow during winter.
Great. Yeah, we had that. I had that. I went on a walk like earlier in the week with one of my team leads, and we left from like the cafeteria, and it was like really nice and sunny, like a spring day. We're like, oh, awesome, let's go for like a walk. 5 minutes later, it was windy and raining. We're like, okay, this just kind of feels like fall. And another 5 minutes later, we were like, okay, we'll just keep going. It's just a little bit of rain. It started snowing. We're like, great. And then, of course, we were quite far away at that point. We're like, okay, now we have to somehow get back without like completely getting drenched, because of course we didn't have any clothes with us to change. So yeah, but we managed, so it was all good. But yeah, that was well, that's April, so we're not in April yet. Mm-hmm. But almost,
so close. Yep.
Yeah. Patrice, but it was good.
Your travel schedule sounds exactly like any time I'm going to get on an airplane. It just it just seems incapable of ever being on time and on schedule.
Yeah, I mean, my taxi didn't show up, so stuff like that. Like, yeah, I called a taxi for like 4 p.m. and I was like at like 20 past four. I was like, I called them like, okay, is it still coming or what's going on? And they were like, oh, we have to call them, we don't know. And then another taxi from a different company showed up, and he was like, okay, I'm going there anyway, I'll just take you. I'm like, okay, let's go. Because at that point, I did not have so much time anymore.
Yep. So basically, you were in a European John Hughes movie.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, kind of. This checks
out.
Yeah,
it was kind of what would happen. Yeah, as I said, that was a day. I mean, I was done at the end of the day, and I'm kind of still feeling it today. I'm just exhausted. So if I'm now rambling and talking complete garbage, you know why. My brain is definitely not working.
But how would we call that notice the show? Anything different?
Yeah, that's true. That is definitely true.
All right. Well, I'll give everyone a quick follow-up to my weather report from yesterday. I had mentioned when Tom on the big show was happy that he'd been able to go 11 days in California without a power outage. I noted that we've had record snowfall here, and yet we have a red flag wildfire warning. So no fires around me, but wildfires yesterday just started popping up all over the state. So, yep, we have officially entered the states just burning to the ground season.
So what you're saying is they went viral.
They went viral. Yes. Yes.
Jeff, what causes, I'm just really curious. I mean, is it just people being careless or lightning strikes for, you know, cause I mean, you just don't have spontaneous combustion all that often.
Hope not.
I hope not. In some cases it'll be lightning. In some cases it will be something that's been building up for like a year or more, where you have decomposing material, And then you just get the right conditions and there's enough heat from the decomposition where it kicks into a fire. Then in some cases, because there's high winds involved, there'll be like power lines that that start fires. And then, yes, we have stupid people that will accidentally or intentionally start the fires. And I don't know what the official cause for any of yesterday's wildfires are. They're probably all just luck of the draw as opposed to someone being stupid. But the season is young, so we have plenty of time for people to cause a problem.
Speaking about causing problems, I just saw the most Midwest weather comment I've ever seen. That we should be able to melt all the snowbanks before the first tornado siren hits.
That is so Midwest right there. Yeah. Yeah.
Because the first tornado siren is about 3 o'clock tonight, about 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah. Oh, good times. Yeah. Hey. So your tornado siren tests are at the end of the month. I'm assuming that's why you're going
actual
to have one.
For actual tornadoes.
Oh, so okay. Yeah. Thinking back on my time living in the Midwest, I realize that yes, that's about right.
It's that time of the year.
Yep. So hey, let's do some news, Apple news. I'm going to start us off with something that's more of a mention than a big story. And part of the reason I'm bringing it up is because it kind of comes full circle for me. And it's a friend of the show, Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. Today is the last episode. It is officially being retired. What brings it full circle for me is this is a podcast that I started for Mac Observer when I was there. And it was a great daily show and had so much fun doing it. And then when I left Mac Observer, I handed the keys to the show over to Kelly Gumond. Excuse me. And she carried it on in just a wonderful way. And she did exactly what I asked her to, which was instead of trying to imitate me and make it the show that it was under my under my watch, to take control of the show and make it hers. And she did that wonderfully. Mm-hmm. And then when she left Mac Observer, the show was on pause for a little while they reorganized and got everything sorted out from the company being sold. And then they got Ken Ray to do it. And Ken's awesome. And I've been on a couple times as a guest of Ken's. And so now today is the final day of the show. So we're pouring one out for TDO today.
Yeah, it certainly leaves a big hole in my morning podcast listening, because I mean you, then Kelly, then Ken, and Jeff Butts and Nick DeCorville and all the other folks that Ken would have on as sort of his quote unquote guests every day. You know, it's been an interesting transition to watch it from the way you did it, Jeff, to the way Cowie did it, to the way that Ken was doing it, and now it's not going to be there anymore. And I just, you know, it's just I'm just going to have to fill in the hole.
Yeah, fill it in with the BTN news show.
Mm-hmm. That's already in my feet, so yeah, sorry, that's a nice idea, and I agree with you. That's another one we should definitely point out. Mm-hmm. But you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. So anyhow, sad to see it go. I'm glad that when I moved on, the show was always in good hands, and it'll just be sad to see it gone. So all right, so now regular Apple news. Here's our obligatory story. I'll start it off by saying, well, we just poured one out for TDO. It has a companion pour out for E3, which it, the electronic game conference. And I can never remember what E3 stands for. Electronic Entertainment.
Something Expo.
Yeah. Anyhow, so E3, they announce they're canceling this year's show because no one wants to show up. And
it's not coming back.
It's not coming back. So 2019 was the last year for E3. They just didn't know it at the time. And so we're pouring one out for them, which leads us to what today's actual news story is. WWDC 2023 has been announced. It'll be June 5th through June 9th.
No surprise.
No surprise.
It, honestly, this is the least surprising announcement at all. Like,
yeah,
it's right. Exactly when we wanted. It's exactly how we know it. It's like there's no difference to last year, which is great because it was great last year. So not a complaint.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody is holding out hope for it to go back to a big convention center, that's not going to happen.
No. I mean, and, I'm pretty sure Apple is quite happy to not have to cost like as well, right? I mean, still cost them something, but they don't have to get the, what was it called? McHenry?
The McHenry.
Convention Center?
Convention Center.
McHenry.
Yeah, the San Jose Convention Center.
Yeah, whatever that was. Yeah. Yeah, they don't have to pay for that and all the logistics around it and so on. Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure doing that on campus with like a small crowd is easier than doing it in San Jose. So.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they can just do these pre-recorded videos now.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they were going to be in person, they would have had to go back to doing everything live.
Yep. Well, they could have done the videos, but then that would have been strange.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because I've been to several WWDCs, not as an attendee to the actual, but sort of as an attendee to the events surrounding it. And I think for WW itself, I think this is a fantastic thing. I think there is a bit of a loss to the community. And I don't know what the answer is to this, because you know the people would come from literally all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And weren't necessarily coming to get into the actual WWDC. They were coming for the events and the connections and everything surrounding it. And I just feel like there's something a little bit lost here. You know, and that's not a reason for Apple necessarily to do it with that kind of expense, because they really were not in control of those events. But it's just, I have mixed feelings about it. I'm happy that they're doing it virtually, but.
Yeah, I mean, I have also mixed feelings, but not for the same reason. I don't agree that like the community and the events around it couldn't happen. I mean, Apple is still doing an event on site, is still inviting probably 1,000 people or something to go there. And some people are traveling from around the world for that one-day event. And if you want, if you were, what was it called? AltConf, I think was one of the big ones.
AltConf.
You could very easily schedule around that and say, okay, let's watch it together. Let's have like what they've had. The difference here is, the way they're doing it, the way Apple is doing it right now, is way more inclusive than DubDub ever was. Because there's the people who can be on site, want to be on site, they get a little bit of that, for sure not the full week, but you get a day, with actually, I think, a big bonus of being able to be on campus. I'm guessing from what I've seen on the invite, it is still going to be...
That's my interpretation too.
Yeah. You get the big benefit there. But like the, I don't know, 20, 30, however many million developers worldwide get a somewhat full experience. And you could never, ever do that with an on-site like event.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been super lucky that I was able to go twice. And the reason was just because I was basically around the corner and my company was willing to pay for it because it wasn't that expensive. I would not be able to do that from here. My company wouldn't pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Patrice, I agree with everything you just said, except for the fact that I think there was something about the feeling that, I mean, it makes no sense, right? That in that building across the street over there is what's going on. And so therefore I'm within the sphere. I'm within, I don't know. I can't find the right terminology, but you were there for, the event that really took over San Jose for those few days. And so
probably the one time of the year when anything was happening in San Jose, right?
Yeah. And what Apple's doing this year, there's a limited attendance on the Apple campus. And so, and it's my understanding is, correct me if I'm wrong, someone, that it's only open to developers. So, and maybe some selected journalists.
Kind of like DubDub was before, like that has never been any different.
Yeah. Except that it wasn't on the Apple campus. So, but there was that feeling that, okay, San Jose became the center of the Apple universe for a week. Yeah. And I don't think that without Apple shifting that focus, I don't know that AltConf will happen. I haven't seen anything. I think they tried to carry it on virtually one year during the pandemic, but there are not those random chances for interaction. And again, this is not
you can't walk down the street and run into a Chuck Joyner or a Jeff Gamet,
or a Patrice Brind'Amour.
Yeah, exactly. Like I 100% agree with you. There is something that it's a trade-off. There's something that gets lost.
Yeah.
The community, the people from all over the world coming together, spending a very intense week together, having all the events around it, like the bash and all of that. There is some things that get lost, and I'm fully with you on that one. And I don't know. That's why I said I'm kind of also on the fence on it. Like on one hand, it's great what they're doing for the wider community. But on the other hand, you also lose something.
Well, and we almost get into a debate over who is DubDub for? Is it for the community? Yeah. Is it really just for the developers? Is the developer community larger? Obviously, it's larger. This makes it a lot more likely that if you're a developer of a small app that just could not afford, I don't care if you're just driving down from San Francisco, that you just could not get in.
If you can't afford the $1,500 or $1,600 ticket, for example, because you're a student that doesn't is writing an app and doesn't have anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting you say that because I did meet some student developers there. The folks that were just doing it, not because they did not have a ticket into DubDub, but they were there to connect and learn from some of the other events. So I'm glad that they're doing it this way because I think they reach more people. And I think at the end of the day, it benefits the four of us and everybody listening. Because those are the people that are writing the apps.
Yeah. And I mean, based on what I remember from last year, and I think also the feedback that Apple got from what I saw in the community, last year's DubDub was really, really good because the digital experience they had, they organized a lot of online stuff and tried to get people excited and try to do things and try to push that forward and make it better. That was really good. It wasn't exactly the same as being there, but it was still very, very good. The meeting a random Apple developer in a bar, it's hard to do online.
Yeah, it is. That's the part that I will miss. Chuck, you said something a couple minutes ago about who is WWDC for, and one of the groups that you mentioned as a possibility was the developer community, and to me that's what it organically became. Originally, I think it was a thing that Apple envisioned just for developers, but because of the nature of what it is and who these developers are, it became a developer community event. And that's why things like AltConf started popping up. There was the what they call the other one that happened at the same time. I just forgot. The design con
design thing.
Yeah. And yeah. So you had these satellite events that that became part of the WWDC community. And then of course you had the people that were showing up without tickets because it was a community thing and there was still value for them, even though they weren't going to be inside the San Jose Convention Center. And,
which still wasn't cheap, like the hotels around it and Airbnbs and like the, I mean, I remember what I paid just for like a okay hotel room, not even close to the convention center.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that just shows the demand that was there because, you know, now I could probably book that hotel. Well, not cheaply, but you know, a whole lot less expensively than, you know, but there was the demand because everybody wanted to be in that thing. Jeff, your point is
everybody really... everybody wanted to be there, but there was also no other choice.
Yes, like, I mean, good point.
Yes.
If you were not there, then you didn't get a lot of like the things that like access and the content and like all of that, because back then there was, I mean, the digital experience was overpaced if we're posting the videos like a day or two later, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, the question I want to ask the group, though, I mean, we're talking about DubDub, but we're also talking about E3. Mm-hmm. I mean, does this show that, I mean, are conferences really just going away, or is it the larger conferences that just can't hold up? Patrice, like you said, because of the hotel expense and because of the expense of attending them.
I think the world is too big for the large conferences nowadays. The smaller ones, they can do it because the communities are small. And then like most people get access that want it. But the really large ones have, I think, an access problem because you can't scale that to like a couple million people.
Several years ago when we were watching a lot of conferences just drop off, I started talking about the change that I was seeing. And it was the decline of the big conferences, and like you're saying, the world just can't support that anymore. But the other side of that was the rise of what I started calling boutique conferences, and that's like excuse me, like AltConf, I think you could consider a boutique conference to a degree, but. Mm-hmm. Since it was directly linked to WWDC, it's probably just gone. But things like WordCamps all around the world, local WordCamps, and example coming up in July, Max.conference conference, and Chuck, you and I are both going to be there, and Ben, I'm assuming you will feel obligated to drive out and hang out with us.
Yes, if I can afford to go, I will go.
Awesome. Looking forward to seeing you there. But so these smaller...
Send Ben some money?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I should start giving people my Patreon and Buy Me a Coffee links again to help subsidize the cost for me to go. Because, you know, when you're self-employed, first year with a new business, stuff like that's expensive. Anyhow, the boutique conferences, that's the thing that I see as the future for big conferences. I think E3 was doomed.
Yes, even before the pandemic, honestly.
Yeah. Right. And it's because the big companies that were exhibiting there, they started doing the thing that Apple did back during the Macworld Expo days, where they decided they didn't need to have a booth, they didn't need to do a presentation, because they can do their own events on their own time. And so the big players for E3, they're doing it.
Yeah,
And it's here's like, what
I think it's a law of diminishing returns as well. I mean, you're going to CES, and I think, Chuck, I mean, you said you can't even see everything that you're interested in. And at some point, you have to start asking, okay, like, do I then want to go? Like, is it better to just watch it from the outside and then pick and choose, like, on your own time? Like, the smaller conferences have the benefit of, okay, it's small enough that you can actually go to the things you're interested in. And if you go to, if you, instead of going to one big conference, you go to, I don't know, you go to the Microsoft event and you go to, I don't know, the Google event and so on. And you have smaller chunks and smaller events that you go to, then you're like, it's easier to still get all that content.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And here's why shows like E3 are going away, but other conferences like CES and NAMM are still going strong. Well, those latter two are basically dealer conferences. They're so music industry and electronics industry stuff can show their latest wares to dealers to sell.
Mm.
Well, let's be honest. Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft have absolutely no problem getting through to dealers. And most of the video games these days are sold directly anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's true. It's like you're channeling me, because I was waiting for the appropriate pause to jump in and have the dealer conference discussion. And here you did it beautifully. Actually better than I would have.
So yeah. That's an interesting point. And so I'm going to throw in NAB, which I'm planning to go to in a couple of weeks.
Yes, same thing.
Well, to some degree, Ben, but I think there's also an educational component to NAB, especially with post-production world track and a lot of the trainings. There's training that happens on the floor in little mini theaters, and there is an industry awareness kind of thing. So I'm anxious to see what this year's NAB will be like. Last year, it was definitely worth the trip for me. It was the first thing back since the pandemic. You know, this time CES felt really good. I mean, I felt like it was definitely a worthwhile trip. To Jeff's point, I did notice that there were some of the major players who were no longer on the show floor. They had private suites. And they booked appointments, and you know that. Mm-hmm. So nobody just stumbled into them. And I don't know how CES combats that, or, you know, what, I mean, how do they say, well, you can't rent a suite in the Venetian without paying us a piece of the action. So I don't know how that works.
Especially, they can't tell it to the big players like Microsoft and so on, because, well, then they're just not going to come and do it somewhere else. And people are like, the people that they're interested in are still going to go there.
Yeah.
And so, to be perfectly honest, CES is about the mid-size and smaller vendors. Vendors are going to get it no matter what.
I would agree with you. Yeah. I would agree with you. So I'm anxious to see how NAB evolves this year. I mean, judging by the number of emails that I'm getting and, you know, press requests and all, it's going to be a pretty darn healthy show, but I'm just anxious to see what happens.
Yep. Same. So. Yep. All right. So here's another obligatory story or news piece for us. Uh-huh. And this is the news that Apple Music Classical was released this week. And for those of you that aren't up to speed on what this means, Apple bought, I just forgot the name of the company. It's the company.
Primephonic?
Yeah, was Phonic.
Primephonic, I think.
Primephonic, yeah. That's it. Yeah, so Primephonic, they had a service that was geared specifically towards streaming music for classical music. And there's a lot of things that are very specific about cataloging classical music that doesn't fit with the typical way that other music genres are cataloged. And that made it very difficult to find exactly the Vivaldi piece that you were looking for.
Yes.
And this fixes that. And so Apple bought the company, and we had a year, something like that, waiting for this to roll out. And now it's officially here. It's just part of Apple Music. And I've been very excited for this thing to show up. And now that it's here, I'm really excited to see it actually become something, because today, it feels incredibly limited. And the limiting part is that right now it's an iPhone app. And this has real value for me is actually on my Mac, where I have my nice DAC and my good speakers, and I can really take advantage of the high res music.
That's the thing I don't understand. I mean, Apple has invested a lot in building up technologies that make it relatively easy. I wouldn't say easy, but relatively easy to build an app across platforms.
Mm-hmm.
There's still work involved, and you still have to think about it, and there's extra time you need for it, and all of that, for sure. Like, it's not a flip a switch and it works. I mean, it is flip a switch and it works, but it's crap if you do that.
Yeah.
But I mean, Apple is not an indie developer. Apple is quite a big company. So if anybody should be able to release this on all platforms, it should be Apple. And I do not understand why they didn't.
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
The other thing that confuses me The other thing that confuses me about this, like Jeff said, it's not on iPad. It's not on Mac. If I'm going to listen to classical music, it's not going to be as I'm walking down the street on my daily 5-mile walk. It's going to be mostly as a background piece as I'm working, because quite frankly, I don't want to be tapping my foot to dock in while I'm doing work.
Is it on Apple TV? Probably not, right?
I think right now it is just iPhone.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Like, I don't get it. I mean, is it possible Apple had to pull developers for some other secret project and that's why they couldn't finish it? It is possible. I mean, WWDC is coming. But on the other hand, they have had, I would say, enough time to finish this.
Like, I have hired it
last year. So
I do too. I mean, to me, it feels like they didn't feel like it would be completely ready. So they just focused on the iPhone version so they could say they had it out within the iOS 16 timeframe.
That's kind of in line with what I was thinking too. The other part for me is that I'm thinking, as Apple was getting deeper in the development, they decided what we really need to do is focus just on one platform and make sure everything's working correctly. And then once we're comfortable with how this is working, then we'll put the resources in to bring it to iPad and Mac as well.
I have a theory that's aligned with yours. So I think you're absolutely right that they had to focus on it. No, I don't. Okay, Siri.
So Siri is now trying to argue with you about our discussion.
I think so too.
She's our special guest today.
I mean, the question that they did that, I think, is without question. I mean, some decision was made or something was decided that they would just do iPhone. That's the only argument I can come up with. So I think that makes sense. But the question is why? And I mean, there is something that I know from my experience with big companies, and we also know about Apple, and that is sometimes they, like, rather important projects get put on Like someone says, I want this, but the budget you're getting is, I don't know, a pencil and a rubber band. Like build me a car, build me a Ferrari, but here's a pencil and a rubber band to do it. And that's totally possible that, you know, corporate structures and priorities and all of that, that basically they acquired the company, they acquired the talent must move somewhere else, and the two people left on the project had to do it and had to do it in time. And this was the only way how to do it.
Okay, so I'm kind of in line with you and Jeff, Patrice. I think there's one thing, though, that hasn't been explicitly stated, and that is that I'm just not sure classical music, and I'm going to offend some people, and I know that, so don't email me, or at least don't email me about this. But I don't think
classical music is... technetwork@gmail.com.
Yeah, thank you.
Send it to you. Send it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there's a problem here, we're all named Ewan.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't think this is a moneymaker. And yeah. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, that's, you know, as these companies get bigger, and we've had this discussion on about different things on multiple shows about, you know, how can somebody let this product go? How can Amazon let DP Review go down?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a moneymaker. It's or a sufficient moneymaker. They can invest that money better somewhere else and get a better return.
Yeah. And sufficient compared to their other things. Like for exactly. other companies, it might be big business, but compared to the other things Apple is doing, it's nothing.
Exactly. And that's where I don't look. I'm not happy when I see things like that happen. I'm not that much of a photography geek, but I definitely enjoyed DP Review when I was going and looking for a piece of hardware. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I can't say that I would not have been one that you could call a supporter of it in any way, shape, or form. I was more a user. But, you know, yeah, Amazon said it's costing us X number of dollars, and yeah, we can deploy that X number of dollars over here and get a better return. Yeah. No different than you right now. If you have any sense, at least in the US, if you're not looking at moving your money from your checking account into a CD or something, you're leaving money on the table.
Yeah, you're right.
Business.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and I mean, that's why you then move people to other projects and say, okay, like, I mean, we promised that we would do it, so we kind of have to. But whatever, 8 out of 10 people, we move to another project that makes us 10 times more money.
Sure. Sure. Mm-hmm. You would do it. You would do yeah. it if it was, if yeah, it was you personally.
So. I have been in conversations like that. So like mm-hmm. I know how that goes. Is that like bigger corporate structures? That's I would say quite normal thing.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyhow, we'll see how the whole Apple Music Classical plays out, so to speak.
That was terrible, Jeff.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it's. I'm a big classical music listener, and it's just frustrating for me that it's limited to my iPhone. And if I actually went to listen to high-res music, I'm plugging a DAC into my iPhone, which now adds bulk to my phone, and that means I'll also be using wired headphones at that point. So now am I limiting myself really to using my iPhone for classical music at my desk? And honestly, when I'm listening to any music on my iPhone where I'm using my DAC, my headphones that I use are specific. They're high quality headphones for listening to music. They don't have a microphone. So mm-hmm. at that point, I'm not using my phone as a phone anymore. Anyhow, it's for me, it's yeah. just the wrong platform for doing this. Yeah.
Yeah. But Jeff, I'm with you on the loss of us. There's no question about that. That's one big hole in this whole, in the whole thing, but you can take that stream and you can send it to your HomePods or to a wireless speaker.
Yes. Well, and actually, if you send it to your HomePod, the HomePod will play a higher res or higher quality version of the file than your iPhone will.
Right. So you know, there, if folks are concerned about that, you know, maybe they need, we either need to do a little education or they need to do a little homework to get how to get the best version of it. But it's not like you're just locked out if you're on a desktop. You know, you have your phone and you have HomePods, or maybe you have another Bluetooth speaker. So
yeah, which to me still says, give it to me on my Mac, because if I'm listening to this on my higher quality speakers that are in my home or in my office, then why not let me listen through a device that's designed to be there in my home or my office, as opposed to having to use my iPhone for that instead.
Yeah. And I'm not arguing that point at all. I'm just pointing out that, you know, that you do have some options. It's not like you, oh my God, it's not on my mic, therefore, you know.
And that is a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a feeling we'll be seeing more about this at DubDub.
That's what I'm hoping. We already know that the newer M series Macs or MacBooks, MacBook Pro, at least, I have to double check, has a higher end DAC built into it.
Uh-huh.
So,
and higher end Bluetooth.
And higher end Bluetooth. Yeah. So, you know, that's good for what can happen with high res music. So you're right.
Yeah. I'm just hoping Apple is able to deliver a lossless wireless protocol for music at that conference.
I think Apple is fully capable of delivering it. The question is, will they reveal it at WWDC? You know who else is capable of delivering? TSO hosts.
TSO
hosts.
Yep. What they do is deliver quality, rock solid web hosting services, and they have great support for streaming. And actually, without them, we would not be able to do what we do, because they are incredibly generous and they are giving us that bandwidth we need to stream shows every single week. They are giving us the hosting space we need for the website and the extra server space we need so that all of the show recordings have a place to live, so you can watch or listen to your favorite episodes anytime you want. I say they're rock solid because we're actually a really good case study in that. When was the last time you saw the BTN website go down? And I guarantee
it's not my fault.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. yes. So the BTN website going down, and it wasn't because Patrice took it down for us. And the answer is no, that hasn't happened. They're just that good and that reliable. So really, when I say we wouldn't be here without them, I mean it. You know what they're asking of us in return is so easy. Just go online and give them some online love on your favorite social media platform. And yeah, just let them know that you appreciate that TSO host is here supporting the British Tech Network. Now, when you decide, hey, I've got this great idea for a website and I've got this awesome domain name that I need to buy, go and use them for that, because that's what they do so well. That's their thing. They'll make it easy for you to buy that domain name. They'll make it easy for you to get the hosting package you need and so that you can get set up with your website. And once you've got all that stuff in your cart, so you're ready to pull that trigger, so to speak, use the discount code BTN20, BTN20, and you will get a discount on those services or on that order. And I just said a discount. I should have said a 20% discount. So yeah, you get a really nice discount on that purchase, which is wonderfully generous as well. So give TSOHO some online love for supporting us. And then when you're ready to get your new website idea up and running, give them a little bit of cash, but not as much as you would otherwise have to, because they're going to give you that discount. And thank you, TSO hosts, for being here to support the British Tech Network. Now, yesterday, we had an epic adventure, which was me stumbling through talking about where to find the chat. And yeah, Patrice, this is one of the many reasons why I appreciate you so much. Will you please help me out and do it right, unlike the way I do it?
Okay, sure. I'll give it my best. Let's see if I can not stumble through it today with my broken brain. So if you are listening to this live, like right now, or I mean in the future, you can do that every Friday 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, and also every Thursday 7 p.m. UK time for the Big Show if you're into the non-Apple side of things, like gaming tech and space and cars and Windows and Android and, you know, you name it, like all the other tech. There's like a million different things out there. And then, like, you want to join the live chat and talk to us, and you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com, and that's it. You're in. You can talk to us. You can see the links that we're posting. You can see the cool things. You can ask us questions. All of the awesome stuff that a live chat brings you. But yeah, let's say you are listening to this in the recorded form in your favorite podcast player of choice, or on our website, for example, which you can also do. Of course, live chats don't work that way. You cannot talk to us live. That's just not how it works. But you can still see everything that was talked about. You can see what the other people were saying. You can click see the links. Like, Jeff is always awesome and posts the links to the news articles and so on, and to other relevant things. Like, there's an article to DP review, for example, or to the announcement of DP review being shut down, which we did not, like, you can't get any other way. You could probably Google it, but it's easier that way.
I did the hard work for you.
Exactly. And if you want to get to that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there is a little calendar that pops up where you have to put in a date. And you select today's date as we are recording this. So not the date you're listening to it, because we wouldn't know. Like, you might listen to this in 50 years. But today's date as, I mean, I don't know if our website even exists in 50 years. You put in today's date as we're recording this. And today's date is the 31st of March, 2023, March 31st, 2023. And then you are, like, you will be able to see everything that we've talked about.
Yes.
Patrice, that was epic and so much better than what I did yesterday.
Just practice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got it. So thank you. Okay. And I have to say, it is so much less stressful hearing you talk about that than me. And there's no reason for that to be a stressful thing for me at all. And yet here we are. Humans are complicated animals.
Yeah. On the other hand, you do the TSO host really, really well. So.
Okay. Fair enough. What I really have to do each show is make sure that when it's time to talk about TSO hosts, I come up with a really nice transition.
And you always do.
I do what I can. So, all right. That means now it's time to do some cool things. So, who has the first cool thing?
I'll jump in.
Okay.
For a change. I want to recommend, for some reason, I've kind of started recommending podcasts or podcast episodes. This is a specific episode of the Photocombobulate podcast with Jeff Carlson and Mason Marsh. This is a photography podcast, but this time around, they were talking with an expert about generative AI from a photography standpoint or an image standpoint. And I just listened to this morning, and it just blew me away because it wasn't just a rehash of things I already knew, or, you know, the debate over how to use this and is it a good idea and all. Some very practical information that you just don't think about when you're playing with some of this stuff. So, and I don't want to spoil it. I would rather have you go and read the write-up on the site and listen to it, because I think it will just open your eyes a little bit about some broader issues surrounding the generative AI engines. Doesn't make me any less interested in them or cautious about using them or want to use them. It just makes me much more aware of the implications. So again, the podcast is great. It may or may not be for you if you're into photography or, you know, that kind of thing. But this one stepped not exactly outside the box, but just sort of sideways a little bit. And I think it's absolutely well worth your time.
Chuck, I will definitely go listen to this one. First, it's just great getting to bask in Jeff's knowledge. But I've also been watching very closely the images he's been generating using Adobe Firefly. And it's fascinating what he's been coming up with. So I definitely want to hear the whole Photocombobulate team talk about AI.
Yeah, Jeff, I think you will. I'll be interested to see if you don't learn something, because I felt like I did on a number of different fronts.
I will learn several things from this one.
Yeah. So go enjoy.
Cool. All right. So Ben, tell us about your cool thing.
Okay. Previously, if you wanted to get a HomeKit doorbell that had Apple Secure Video or HomeKit Secure Video, it had to be wired.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not anymore. Smart home maker Akara, I think that's how it's pronounced, has released their $120 video doorbell G4, which includes the Chime.
Nice.
Which can be either wired or wireless. And it's now available.
So I'm looking at this.
I mean, it's got it looks like it does need slight improvements in some areas. But if you have one of those, if you want to put a doorbell on a place that's not wired, this at least allows you to do that now. Like if you want to have a doorbell on your sliding back door or your side door that doesn't have one, you can do that. As well as video monitoring, obviously.
Nice. Yeah. Since it's wireless, I can see where this could be a nice option if you're like renting an apartment or a townhouse. And
yes.
You could have your own doorbell camera without having to make modifications to the rental property.
Well, I mean, you'd obviously have to screw it in, so there would be modification.
Yeah, but you can fill the holes when you unscrew it when you leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not having to do like extra wiring or anything. So it becomes a camera that can go with you as you move.
Yep. And the other,
take the, like what I did, take the standard doorbell button off and screw it into the same holes. That actually, if it works.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the other benefit to this, if you have a HomePod ecosystem within your house, the HomePod becomes the doorbell.
Oh, okay.
That is really
so cool. Yeah, so the excuse that you did not hear the doorbell doesn't apply because it both sounds off on your HomePod and then sends you a phone alert.
That's true. Doesn't help you when the person doesn't actually ring the doorbell, but that's a different issue.
That's a different story. All right. Well,
yeah, at least when they say they rang the doorbell and you didn't really do it, it's like, hey, I don't have footage of this. You didn't do it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. This is cool. I like that it also supports the A lady and the G lady. And yes. And IFT. So you have a lot of options with how you can use this one.
Yeah.
IFT person.
IFT is just silently waiting to do IFT automations for this.
Yeah. But if you're like me and HomeKit secure video is an absolute requirement.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yes.
Yeah. This is literally the only wireless option.
Yeah.
Which is cool enough in its own right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, running wires there is usually a hassle, if not impossible. So,
yeah.
I mean, unless you own the house and you can do it, but.
I mean, granted, then you're going to have to use 6 double A's, but.
Ben, give me 30 seconds on why HomeKit secure video is a requirement for you.
For me, quite frankly, it's a trust issue.
Okay.
I mean, we've all seen what has happened with Amazon and Ring, where since they get your video, they have quite frankly sold it not only to authorities without your knowledge, but I have to wonder if they're asking permission to put up all the social media posts they are.
Okay, good, good answers. Thank you.
Yeah, and I mean, the whole issues we've had with like people who were not authorized accessing it and so on. And you do not have that because it is, as far as I know, I mean, it's basically on-premise and it's end-to-end encrypted. I think if it's stored in iCloud, it's end-to-end encrypted. Yep. So like Apple, I mean, one, Apple never would do that, but two, they can't.
I'm looking at the specs on this. So you can store directly to a micro SD card.
Yes.
It has NAS support. It doesn't say, or at least I haven't seen where it said which
that
NAS.
That is part of HomeKit. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But still,
I think the Synologies, for example, because I know they've had for many, many years just whatever it was called, surveillance station or something.
Right.
The built-in stuff there.
Yeah, I'm assuming that Synology is what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, well said, with HomeKit Secure Video, I mean, you can also do that. It depends, like, what you need, what you want.
Yep. And the other part about this, if your power is to go out, it has battery backup. I mean, granted, it also means most likely your Wi-Fi is going out.
It's still recording.
Yeah.
All right. Very cool. I just put this in my wish list because getting one right now for me would be, it wouldn't do me much good because everyone in my building is getting kicked out in at the end of June. And so I'd get it and then have to immediately take it apart. But now it's on my list.
Put it
so
on your list for July.
Right. Yep. It's on my July to-do list now. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Jeff, there's a house for sale in my neighborhood if you're interested.
Oh, nice.
Move to Vienna. I can recommend some places.
I'm loving these offers. This sounds awesome.
I would say move to my neighborhood, but nobody can afford this neighborhood.
I don't know. I live in Boulder, Colorado. It actually might be less expensive for me to move where you are.
Let me put it this way. My next door neighbor on the kitty quarter is the country club.
Oh.
So all the houses on the other side of the street are on a golf course.
Wow. Okay, that is expensive.
That okay. Yeah.
Jeff, this apartment will be empty, but it will be available like mid-July. So if you want to move.
Awesome. All right.
We'll just come over and sleep on your couch, Patrice.
The couch that will not be here then anymore.
No, at your new place. The new place.
Okay, at the new place. Fine.
Because I mean, you know, I do have an Austrian great grandfather. I might actually I might actually be eligible for citizenship.
Maybe, yeah.
Nice. Cool. All right. This is on my list. Patrice, tell us about your cool thing. Oh,
my cool thing is a book, and I think it's been around for a while because it has been a TV show about it already. It's Stephen King's 11/22/63. If you have seen the TV show, yeah, that's the book that was the show was based on, the one with James Franco. But the story is basically the main character, Jake finds out there is what he calls the rabbit hole, like some kind of space-time bubble in a diner, like in a corner, or like in a storage closet. If you go through that, you end up in always at like, what was it, 11:58 a.m. at sometime in 1958, always the same time. And if like you're there, like you could like do everything, and when you return, it's 2 minutes later from when you left. And if you go back to the past, it's again like everything resets basically, or so he thinks. And so he does some time traveling and wants to prevent, because he thinks, yeah, I mean, like JFK is getting assassinated, hence 11/22/63. I want to prevent that and some other stuff from happening. And yeah, that's as much as I'm going to tell you about it, because the rest you have to read. It's a really awesome book. I bought it on Audible. It was on my list for a long time. I really enjoyed the TV show, even though for sure they cut some corners here and there. They have to. Like, this is quite a long book. I don't know, 16 hours or something. Typical Stephen King. It is really, 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 really good. I cried at the end. It was very good.
I have not read this one yet. And I remember when it came out. And I was thinking, I need to pick up this book and read it. And then never did. Thank you for bringing this back to the forefront for me. Thank you. Wow, that was harder to say than I thought. So yes, all right. I'm definitely going to add this to my read list.
You should. It's a really good book. It shot immediately up to my like top three probably.
Awesome. Okay. As we're talking right now, I just got a news alert because I have IFT watching Apple's press release page, so I get push notifications when new press releases come out. The Gangnam Apple store in South Korea just officially opened. There you go.
Good to know.
Breaking news.
Now we'll go to Gangnam Apple style.
Right.
You should
go there.
Don't let anyone tell you you can't do an accent. That was a completely appropriate Gangnam style accent. Okay, my turn. My cool thing is a 3-episode documentary series on HBO called The Invisible Pilot. And this is the story of Gary Betzner, And he was a crop duster pilot in the 1970s. And he ended up through an interesting string of events, like on the hunt for cocaine, and ended up faking his death, disappearing, and then later on resurfaces. And it turns out this guy, by the way, this is not spoiler stuff. I mean, because this is literally what the documentary is about. He ends up, running guns as a pilot, like down to Nicaragua, and then flying cocaine back to the United States. And this is all part of one of Ronald Reagan's projects when he was president. So he's doing this like totally under the radar drug and gun smuggling operation that the president has signed off on, and
wow.
Yeah, but then ultimately he ends up getting caught by the CIA, and he ends up getting arrested and goes to trial, and then later on there's this whole congressional investigation into what happened, because it, you know, at this point he's like, wow, the government just totally screwed me over. I was doing this job for them and now I just got arrested. And so he went totally public with what was going on, and it was even ties into the whole Iran-Contra situation. It's fascinating, and it's only three episodes. So it's called The Invisible Pilot, and it's on HBO, and it's just really cool and kind of crazy.
Yeah, added to my list too. Jeff, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I heard about this from a friend sent me a text message, and all it said was, go watch The Invisible Pilot. And they didn't elaborate at all. And so I was like, yeah, okay, I'll add it to my list. Then later on, they're like, so what did you think? And I'm like, I haven't watched it yet. And they're like, holy crap, go watch it. This is what's going on. And yeah. So holy crap, go watch it. It is really interesting. All right. So with that, we have managed, I think we were actually closer to the rails today than we typically are. Which is,
I mean, except for the beginning.
Yeah. So weird. Anyhow, yeah. Hey, Chuck, where can people find you?
You can find me over at macvoices.com. That's where we talk to lots of interesting people about tech and everything with a particular Apple focus. Yeah, it's just, there's so much going on out there right now in the broader tech community. But as Apple and Mac users, you know, that's the way you're interacting with a lot of this stuff. So we try to look beyond just the Apple specific stuff. We do Mac Voices Live Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are, on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. This whole crew is there. A lot of the other folks you already know. And we're bringing on some new people as well so that things stay a little bit churned up. And on the socials, you will find me as at Chuck Joyner or at Mac Voices.
Awesome. Ben, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on the social media at Ben Rathig on your social media of choice. My permanently interim website, RathigTech.blogspot.com. And you can find me here Thursdays and Fridays, permanently on In Touch with iOS Thursday nights. And occasionally I bribe Chuck to get on his show.
don't we all? Yeah. Patrice, I'm glad that you're back from your crazy travels. Where can people find you?
Well, I am here every week on the Mac Show on Fridays. Also on Thursdays on the Big Show, usually, except for yesterday, because I was traveling. I could have joined from the airport, but the Wi-Fi sucked, so not a good idea. Yeah, everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcasts, the projects, if you want to buy me a coffee, there's a link. All of that you can find on thepatrice.com. If you want to join a Mastodon instance and you're looking for one, you're like, not sure, big, small, whatever. If you want to join one that you trust, head over to techhangout.social and join us there. And my podcast, Foodie Flashback, is back. I finally posted after a year one of the interviews I did last year with Dina, which really was really, really good. I really enjoyed that. I actually enjoyed listening to it again when I edited like 2 weeks ago. So head over to foodieflashback.com to listen to that.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So you can find me on the various social media platforms as Jay Gamut. Not Twitter anymore. Wow. That was like muscle memory. I don't know where that came from. although on Twitter, let's see, it's the 31st. I am mere hours away from losing my blue check mark. I will wear that as a badge of honor.
I'm mere hours away
from make a t-shirt. Mind. I lost my blue check mark.
yeah. Okay, the social media platforms that I'm most active on right now, Instagram and Mastodon. And let's see, for podcasts, for some reason Chuck lets me on Mac Voices Live on Tuesday evenings. And Chuck, you know who I am, and yet you keep doing this.
You're always welcome, Jeff. You're always welcome.
Oh, you're the best. Then on Thursdays, there's the Big Show. And then most Thursday evenings, Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS. And then Fridays here on the Mac Show. And then also on the Context Machine, because Bran Chaffin and I have teamed up again. And I was just recently on for Mac Guys Only, Mike Potter's podcast. Patrice, thank you for enlightening me on the misinformation I had about Ethernet versus Wi-Fi priority. So now I know. Anyhow, I kind of get around, so I'm easy to find on the internets. Let's see. Okay. So that means it's time for me to say thank you to all of you for being so awesome and putting a smile on my face today and, just making this a great morning. It's genuinely awesome to get to spend my mornings with you. All of you that are watching or listening live, participating in the live chat, thank you for being here. It's great to have you here. For my morning as well. Everyone that watches or listens to the recordings later on, thanks for being part of the BTN family. Mueller, get better. And thanks for making sure we have people on the shows. Ewan, thank you just for being you. And TSO host, thank you for being here and supporting us. Okay, don't forget to join us next Thursday for the Big Show. And then again on Friday for the Mac Show. Everyone, have an awesome weekend.